Yeah, thank you very much. You know, it's been, it's an interesting thing. See, I'm going to get a little emotional now. Start fidgeting when I get emotional. You know, you get invited a lot of places, and you get on that airplane. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what you're going to get. And you know, I'm just so struck by so many things since I've been here, and getting to know people, and you know, just kind of on a tiny level working with people and everything like that. You know, one of the things that has really captured me this weekend is just this spirit of humility that permeates this place and the people, just a spirit of gracious humility. And that may not sound like much, but I'm telling you, it's very rare. It's very, very rare thing. Even just watching the choir. Now I'm going to say something, but I'm not like I had to restrain tears. That's not because you guys were doing a bad job. I was enjoying it. I really was. Was just deeply touched by just the humility, you know. I don't know how to explain that, and I've just seen it all weekend, and you know, working with the guys on the soundboard back there, and just they're just so willing to just be a blessing and serve, and it's just a very, very precious thing. It's very, very close to the heart of God. I mean, if there are a handful of words to describe the character of Jesus, possibly, you know, in the number one or number two spot would be humility. Just this was the most humble man who ever walked the planet. And so to see a spirit of humility amongst his children, it's just, wow. You know, it's very, very deeply moving. And you know, and really, as I travel around, I'm just telling you, it's very, very rare. And may I just give you this kudo? That trickles down from leadership. You know, that trickles down from leadership. There's no doubt about it. You know, I've been traveling around for 15 years. I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of different things. Sometimes you go somewhere and it's like you cannot wait to get back on that plane. You know what I mean? and you know, so just I hope that's a blessing to you guys. And and then the other thing that really, really strikes me, you know, to choose a focus on Jesus as an anniversary theme. I can't tell you how rare it is, and this will shock you maybe, I can't tell you how rare it is for a church to be Jesus-focused. That might be a shocking thing to hear, but again, it just comes from doing this and being so many places and seeing so many different focuses, good focuses, wonderful things, you know, important things, principles and values, you know, but not him, not him. And, you know, to just want to honor him in an anniversary setting, it's just deeply moving. It's just deeply touching and very, very, very precious. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of it. This being the last day, and it's funny because you come in now, we'll have a little bit of fun. You know, I come in on a Friday night, and you know, it's like coming into a family setting. You know, I mean, I'm not family. You guys are family, and I come in, and it's just natural, you know, for you guys being like, okay, what's this guy got? You know, why should I listen to this guy? And you know, but very quickly, you know, just such graciousness I've experienced, and such warmth, and such welcoming, and it's just really, really been a blessing. This morning, chatting with the guys and everything, you know, I started to feel that thing of like, oh, it's my last day. I'm going to have to go home, you know. And that doesn't happen too often. It really doesn't happen too often. So, you know, I just personally want to say thank you. And yeah, it's just been lovely. You guys have just been so gracious and all that kind of stuff. I see a lot of new faces. So I get to tell the same jokes and things like that. No. So I think it would be important to just kind of very quickly recap and get us all on the same page so that everybody, you know, knows who I am and why I'm here, you know, and my background a little bit, just so that we get on that same page. I did bring the clips today. I've been promising for 2 days to bring clips of this film, and I keep forgetting them in my hotel room. And so I successfully brought them today, and so you'll get a little glimpse of these things that I've been talking about. And if I may say one more thing, I mean, yesterday was something. If I wasn't so exhausted from jet lag, I don't think I would have slept a wink last night. As Pastor Sam was saying, I stood in the back, and especially at the end of the service last night, just to see people just joyously worshiping God Pastor Sam led people into, I'm trying to think of a Christian way to phrase this, but, you know, he just felt that people, there were people who needed a human touch. You know, an embrace, a hug. And to see the ministry of something like that. I mean, you tend to think, you know, I'm going to give you the power prayer, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes we just pass right by the real need, And to see that ministry go forth and, you know, at the same time to see a lot of guys having fun with it, you know what I mean? There's a lot of guys, hey, brother, you know. But I saw some precious, precious ministry go forth, just a human touch. I think we live in a world where a thing like where there is just so rare. It's just so rare just to have someone just put their arm around you and just love you. Just love you. You know, what I'm going to do this morning and this afternoon principally is just talk about Jesus and try to, on some level, bring him to life for you because, you know, he's such a, I mean, he can easily become more of an iconic, legendary figure as opposed to a real person, which he was 2,000 years ago, as a man. You know, we can easily lose that sense of the reality of this man 2,000 years ago, that when he stood in the sun, the sweat dripped off of his face, just like yours and mine. You know, when the wind kicked up the dust, and he experienced that, and then at the same time, you know, he had a human heart that was exactly the same as every heart in this room. And what that means is he shared human longings and human desire, and he experienced those exact same things that you and I experience. And in the perfection of his understanding, I'm going to say that again because that's very, very, very big. Jesus was the one guy who didn't have some place to be, so to speak. You know, you walk down the street here and you may have walked out of your home you may have just gotten off the phone with your dad and your dad said your mom has cancer. But you got to be at work in 15 minutes. You know, so you do what we do. You shake that off and you're walking down the street with this thing in your heart. Okay? and you're just passing by a million people. And they're just walking by because they got things to do. You know, and they're just figuring out a way to get by you. And you got this thing in your heart. You know. Jesus was never on his way to do anything passing someone by. You get what I'm saying? He was never, you know, oh, excuse me. You know, he just, never. In the perfection of his understanding, he understood those things. And the evidence of that is his choices and his actions. I mean, he's the Son of the living God. He's the most important figure in the universe. See, we lose sight of that. You know, in my country, we got a new president, and everywhere he goes, it's like the Red Sea parts, and, you know, and people are just... I mean, he made a joke once, I am not the Messiah. And he was joking. But you should see the way people deal with this guy. It's downright scary. It's downright scary. And, you know, his motorcade passes through the streets and, you know, and everybody's, you know, everybody just. But 2,000 years ago, this guy was the Son of the living God. I can appreciate my president, but this was God, man. You get what I'm saying? I mean, that's wow. And what did he choose to do 24/7 with his position? If I can phrase it that way, with his godness, with the reality of who he was. Over and over and over, he did the same thing all day long, every day. And that's stop everything that he's doing and get down in the dirt with hungry, broken people. And reach into their broken places, cry tears over their pain, wrap his arms around him. As I saw the embraces going around the room last night, I just saw Jesus all over the room. There was one, actually two people in particular, and I had to look away because it was so, you know, that hug just meant so much. And as I was watching, I thought, gosh, you know, I wonder how long it's been since that person has been hugged. How long has it been? You know, here's this person running by a million people every day and work and da-da-da, and a million conversations. And deep inside the heart is just this, please, somebody just hold me in his, her arms. So 2,000 years ago, you got the Son of the living God, the most important figure in the universe. And he knows. That's the level he's at. That's what he sees. That's what he understands. And out of that understanding flows his every choice with regard to people. Which is to stop. I don't care how important I am. I don't care how nothing or powerful I am. Right now, the most important thing in the world to me is you. Is you. Over and over and over. All day long. Every day. Year in, year out. Unto wham, wham, his blood pouring out. The most important. Important thing in the world to me today is you. And so he stops everything that he's doing. Wow. I mean, can you imagine some big business guy walking down the street? He's an important guy. And you go, you know, excuse me, Mr. Smith. You know, can I have a moment with you? He'll laugh in your face. Some of you try to get your boss's attention. You know, excuse me, I'm too important. I'm too busy. You know, I've achieved too much. I'm too great. I have too much power. I have too much resource. I don't have time for you. And 2,000 years ago, I mean, his importance makes Mr. Smith. And he stops everything that he's doing. I love you. You are the world to me in this moment. I am the Son of the living God. And I'm all about you. You. Jesus. Jesus. I told you I was going to recap a little bit and just get us all up to speed. And my story is actually very, very simple. I got born again. I'm an actor by profession. And shortly after I got born again, I got asked to play Jesus in a movie. And for those of you who don't know, the movie was word for word the Gospel of Matthew. So as an actor, I had to pour myself into an understanding of the Gospel. I had to memorize every one of Jesus' words, word for word. You think of that scripture that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you think about the impact of that read, and then you add on top of it studied, and then you add on top of it memorized, and then you add on top of it, if I can phrase it this way, literally walked through. I mean, these events are the most significant, the most pivotal, the most, universe-shaking events in universal history. And suddenly, as an actor, I find myself reenacting them. I find myself down in the dirt with brokenness and catching just a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a tiny, tiny, tiny glimpse of what it maybe could have been like 2,000 years ago. And as you can imagine, and I'm obviously giving you the 5-cent version of that story, as you can imagine, you do something like that. Oh gosh, I think I started the research in December and we finished filming in April. So for several months of my life was just Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I just can't explain to you how my mind was exploded with the reality of this man who was God. And all day long, every day, just gives it away, gives it away, gives it away. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This man with his sleeves rolled up and, sweating in the sun and crying tears over people's pain. This man with such passion for people burning in his heart. I remember there's that scripture where they challenge Jesus and they say, "What's the greatest commandment?" And you can imagine Jesus 2,000 years ago. I mean, he's just trying to bless these people. He's just trying to save these people. Most films, we see him going head-to-head with the Pharisees, with the religious leaders. But the reality is he loved those guys. We totally miss that. He spent most of his time reaching out to those guys. And his constant reaching out, "I am... who you're living for, come to me, come to me." I mean, his heart for these guys was impassioned, impassioned. And so if you can put yourself in his shoes, which the acting lesson, that's basically what an actor does. He tries to gain an understanding of the other character's mindset, of the other person's point of view of the world. And I'll talk a little bit in a moment about relationship. The key is relationship. My constant question was to look at every encounter of Jesus and ask myself, what was his relationship with this person? Because if I can nail that, then I understand why he makes the choices that he makes. For example, you know, what I just finished talking about, how he's got all the power of the universe. And what he chooses to do with that is stop everything he's doing and get down in the dirt with you. And I saw that over and over, and I thought, well, wait a minute here. Why? Why would he do that? Because one of the first things that strikes you is that if anybody has a choice with what to do with his time and his resource, believe me, it's the Son of the Living God. Nobody's forcing him to do anything. I mean, if I wake up in the morning and I think to myself, you know, what am I going to do with my day? Believe me, if I can make that choice, he can make that choice. And so I looked at what he did with his day. I looked at what he did in relationship to people. And I kept asking myself, why? For example, I'll show you a clip in a minute of this, of the man with leprosy. Okay? And, you know, Jesus, we all know the story. He's walking down, I think, from the Sermon on the Mount. And this guy cries out to him. And he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about that guy for just a second. We see these words, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And we tend to get a religious frame in our heads, you know, as if he stands up and, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, in those movies, they always have British accents and stuff. You know, one time I was doing this and I said, Jesus didn't have a British accent. And some guy piped up and said, you didn't have an American one either, you know. But we tend to see it in kind of an almost Shakespearean context, you know, cathedral kind of mindset. But it wasn't that way 2,000 years ago. This is going to sound really silly what I'm about to say. But this guy, this man with leprosy, he wasn't a man with leprosy 2,000 years ago. He was a man. He was a man. He was a man no different than anyone in this room. He was a man with dreams and desires and passions and hopes and disappointments and bad things that had happened in his life and good things that had happened in his life. He was just a man. And, you know, if you can put yourself in his place, I mean, I don't know what it would be like. You know, he wakes up one day maybe and it just doesn't feel so good. You know? He goes to his wife. He says, you know, I don't know what it is. I just don't feel so good today. And that feeling turns into many days, turns into weeks. And suddenly he starts seeing this stuff, you know. He just starts seeing his skin start to, I don't know what leprosy is like, you know. And he just starts, you know, he just, wait, my, you know, and he starts feeling just the deterioration. I mean, what does that do to a man? And then there comes the day when he goes to hug his little girl. And she runs away. Because daddy's ugly. Because daddy's got a smell, you know. Because daddy's got big wounds. Oh, I mean, what does that do to a man's heart? And suddenly he's lost complete control of his life. This thing is just overtaking him. It's like it's just crawling all over him. And he, you know, it just gets worse and worse. And his family slips through his fingers more and more. And he goes out in the streets and people walk away. And pretty soon people are throwing rocks at him. Get out of our town. And I mean, his whole life is just... Then one day he finds himself sitting in this cave. Or whatever, in the bushes. I don't know, because by the rules of the day, if you had this disease, they removed you from society. No one wanted to look at you. No one wanted to talk to you. And, you know, my mind goes to the hugs of last night. No one wanted to touch you. Can you imagine? And you're just sitting there, day after day after day. That's who this guy was 2,000 years ago. And then one day, Jesus is walking by. And I don't know what the story is. I don't know if, you know, he heard about Jesus or it was like in Ben-Hur when, you know, somebody told him about you. I don't know what it was like. But out of that circumstance, and here's the key, can you imagine the desperation that rises? So when he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It's not a Shakespearean thing. It's a cry. It's human desperation. Translated literally word for word, it takes on a kind of poetic sense, but I have a funny feeling on the day it was like a scream of a desperate man, like, Lord, you know? It's his last chance. It's his only hope. If you're willing, you know, it's like, please. It must have been a remarkable moment. I mean, everybody starts running away. I can imagine even the apostles, they recoiled. And, you know, they're so consumed with the rules of the law. This guy's unclean, so I don't want to go near him. It's like totally missing the point and you know, totally straining the gnat and swallowing the camel. And everybody just disappears. And there's Jesus. And the whole world is walking away. When the whole world is laughing in your face, when the whole world is pushing by you on their way to work or trying to make money, when the whole world is using you, when the whole world judges you on your profitability, when your whole world gives up on you, there stands the Son of the Living God. And I tell you, he made a remarkable choice that day. And he could very easily, because we see this sometimes, you know, we see kind of power preacher types, you know, there's like, be healed, you know, and then they wipe their hands. And I've seen it. Yeah, one time I saw a guy and there was somebody standing next to him with a pile of cloth napkins. And he would go, and then he'd wipe his hand and discard the napkin and wipe his hand. It was remarkable. I just go, oh my gosh, you know. The things we do. Jesus very easily could have dealt with the guy on that level. But he didn't. Jesus very easily could have, you know, Jesus is a very busy guy. He's just finished the Sermon on the Mount. He's probably exhausted. He could have told the guy, look, I'm very tired. You know, I've just been preaching all day long. You know, and so, you know, be healed. And just, and the guy's just like, you know. I mean, he could have. And you know, as funny as that is, it's even funnier that he doesn't. You see, we miss it. This is God. If anybody's got a right to do something like that, it's God. But with all those options, what he chooses to do that day, and I've said it 10 times already, is stop everything he's doing. It's remarkable. Doesn't matter how tired he is. Doesn't matter the hunger burning in his belly from being up there preaching all day long. Doesn't matter nothing. Again, all that matters to him that day is that guy. So he stops everything he's doing. Gets right down in the dirt with that guy. You must understand that guy's state of existence was never his Father's perfect plan for that guy's life. It was never God's plan for anyone to suffer these terrible things. These things are the fallout of a broken creation and sin continually breaking creation, our bodies being part of creation. So as he looks in that guy's eyes, what he sees is what he never wanted one of his babies to ever, ever, ever experience. Now, I mentioned a minute ago about the relationship thing. In my research and in my prayer life, I kept seeking after this. What is your relationship? Why would you stop for that guy? And the Lord led me to Psalm 139. I think the verse is 13. I hand formed you while you were yet in your mother's womb. In other words, that's not just some guy. It's his baby. It's his baby. Now, I've never had kids. Some of you have kids. Some of you don't. Even we who have never experienced that, I think it's very easy to put yourself in that position. I mean, can you imagine seeing your little one in a state like that? How would you react? What would happen inside your heart? Imagine maybe your kid's a teenager and you get a phone call. It's the hospital. There's been an accident. How does dad react to that? Well, look, I'm very, very busy right now. You know, I've got a big deal. I've got to press through. I got two meetings today. I know he's in good hands, so you just take care of him and let him know I'll be by later. Are you kidding me? Well, you know, it's his fault. I told him he shouldn't drive so fast. Are you kidding me? You'd run to the hospital. You just suddenly, every priority you had in your life would mean nothing to you. You'd just literally throw everything aside and you'd run to that hospital. You rush to your baby's side. You cry a million tears over his pain. You grab the doctor. Please, anything. Take my organs. Just anything, make him better. Multiply that a kabillion times. And you got the heart of the Son of the Living God 2,000 years ago as he looks eye to eye with one of his babies in that exact same position. That's why he stops. That's why he does what he does over and over and over. My baby. That's why he hangs on that piece of wood. I mean, is there one dad or mom in this room that wouldn't give your life for your kid in a half a second? And the interesting thing is it doesn't matter how bad your kid is. Doesn't matter how naughty he is. Doesn't matter nothing. Maybe as a teenager he's run away from home. You haven't seen him in 10 years. And suddenly he comes back and he needs you. You'd still just give your life. Why? Because you love him. Is that your baby? And you love him. And you just multiply that a kabillion times. You got Jesus. Jesus in relationship to those people 2,000 years ago, in relationship to that leper 2,000 years ago. And here's the big trick. Jesus in relationship to you exactly the way you are, exactly where you are in your life, with every mistake ever made, I love you. I love you, and my world stops just for you, Jesus. I want to show this little 3-minute clip, and because it's that old picture worth a thousand words kind of thing, and then I'll talk about that a little bit, and Yeah, go ahead. That's like a real movie theater now. Oh, technology. Thanks, Sam.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I am willing. Be clean.
Lord, when I look at you, my tears just melt away. A peace comes over.
faith has healed you.
Lord, when I look at you, the world becomes so small. The burdens that I carry, I can let them fall. And when you look at me, I know. You're closer than my very breath, and help me pray. Holy, don't let me go. I need you with all my soul. There is nothing I will face without the grace.
Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good, for a tree is recognized by its fruit.
When I look at you, when you look at me, when I look at you.
You know, he just loves your guys. That scene with that woman crawling through the dirt, she's supposed to be the woman with the issue of blood. And again, it's kind of a clean way of saying a pretty ugly thing. I mean, this woman is bleeding from her womb. The Bible says, I think, for 11 years. And I mean, can you even imagine, ladies? Can you even begin to imagine? You know, just the state that woman has been reduced to, just the filth and the smell and the dirt and the rejection, and she's just been reduced to crawling through the dirt. And the thing is that today, with medical technology, a woman, for the most part, you know, doesn't have to endure a thing like that physically. But how many women all around us every day, they may not be bleeding physically for 11 years, but oh, how they bleed from their hearts. Just rejection and betrayals and mistakes and people putting expectations on them. And just for years, they just bleed and they bleed. They just bleed. And I remember when we did that scene, you know, the actress who played the role, you know, we were very busy that day and the director didn't give her any direction at all. He just he just said, well, let's see what she does. Maybe it'll work. And, you know, and she did what she said. She was crawling through the dirt and, you know, grabbed the corner of my cloak. And the thing that really fascinated me was that I turned to look at her, and what I saw in her eyes was fear. Here's this woman, you know, she just assumed, as a woman, as a, you know, that God was something to be afraid of. That Jesus was heavy-handed, that Jesus, you know. And I just remember within the scene catching that. And just reaching, literally reaching into her life personally. You know, all acting aside and just wanting her to know. Just smiling with delight for her. Oh, how he delights in you, ladies. Take heart. Daughter. And that term he used 2,000 years, it's a term of the utmost affection. Your faith has healed you. Wow. And then that very last scene that you saw, the guy with his hands all over my face. I don't know whether you could notice, but those were very, very dirty, dirty hands. Did you see that? Now, I can tell you, we were in rural Morocco, and that guy who was playing a blind beggar literally was a blind beggar. And when the director told me how the scene was going to develop, he said, you know, this guy, he's never seen anything. It was just total darkness, his whole life. You know, again, you be the actor. Put yourself in those shoes. Can you imagine? Just blackness, darkness, your whole life. And then in a moment of time, you know, it's amazing. Just this flood of just images and sensation. I mean, what is that? These are not religious moments. You know, these are human moments. There's a dynamic that's just mind-blowing of the kingdom of God just skyrocketing into broken situations that he never intended for anyone to endure. And he said, this guy's going to be so like, you know, he's going to reach out as if to say, is it real? Now, here's the comedy part. You know, when the director was explaining this to me, I looked at the guy's hands. And you got to understand, I could smell that guy from across the street. I mean, he was just, it's one thing to be a, you know, a homeless guy in a first world society, but this guy's homeless in a third world world. And I mean, it was just horrific. The smell of urine, the smell, and you know, and you're thinking, where have those hands been? And, you know, my American sensibilities when you know. And there was a part of me that wanted to tell the director, could you ask the guy to wash his hands? But I guess I just didn't have the guts or anything. I didn't want to embarrass him, you know. We're so silly. And I just start praying, hey, Lord, protect me from disease, you know. And you just start getting all Christian-y and everything. And as funny as it is, you know, it's actually so sad. Because in front of me that day was a very real man. And I was so self-concerned about his hands, about something so silly, that I missed the brokenness. I missed what Jesus totally gets. And I remember the director called action, and we moved through the scene, and the guy did what you saw him do. And, you know, and I don't know what it was. You know, some guys, very spiritual guys, would say, hey, well, the Lord did a thing. You know, I hope so. It also could have just been my human reaction within character, having learned so much about his heart and his understanding of these precious people. I don't know. But this guy, his hands went all over my face. And the smell. And I was so confronted with his brokenness. And I cannot explain to you what happened in my heart. And it just, I was so taken by his preciousness. I mean, here's this nondescript, no-name human being living in rural Morocco, And I was just overtaken by his preciousness. And I did what you saw me do. It was an unscripted moment. I took these hands that were so filthy and stunk of urine, and I kissed them, and I kissed them. And as you can imagine, you could just hear a pin drop on the set. Nobody dared move. And what the camera didn't capture is, after he cut the scene, I just exploded in tears. I just started weeping and weeping. And I took this guy in my arms in the same way that many of you last night ministered to your friends. And I just held him against my chest, and I just cried, and I cried. And still, nobody moved. The director didn't say a word. You know, villagers are all around. You know, and it was like you could hear a pin drop on the ground out there. And it just felt like the longest time. And then slowly, you know, I just peeled myself off the guy, and we carried on. And here's the whole thing. And why don't you guys come on up and, you know, I was in a church once, and I've seen this, and I, you know, the guy, he had hand signals, the preacher. When he wanted the worship team to come up, he would do this. You can't see it. He would put his hand, and he'd go. And I just thought it was kind of funny, because everybody could see it, you know. Suddenly, the pastor's going like this, you know. And I would just say, come on up, you know. It's kind of funny, the things we do. But as we were driving home from the set that day, you know, we're in this little van and we're going back to the hotel, and there was just silence in the van. And this guy sitting next to me, he was a Jewish believer. He was the technical consultant on the film. He said these words to me. He said, "You know, Bruce, I've walked with," he used the term Yeshua. "I've walked with Yeshua for a long, long time." He said, "But I never really got it until today. Never really got it until today." He just loves you. The interesting thing about the leper and the blind beggar and the woman with the issue of blood, we tend to think of them as so remote from us. But I am that leper. I am the blind beggar. I mean, for how many years of my life did I walk in blindness? My world just dark. For how many years of my life was my soul just leprous with filth and crummy things and smells and terrible things? For how many years, because of other people's mistakes and my own mistakes, that I just walk around bleeding and bleeding. And then one day the Son of the Living God, he takes that holy, holy hand, man. And he just reaches it. He doesn't reach it around me. He reaches it right into my dirtiest place. And he leans over and he takes my dirtiest places in his arms and he kisses them. He kisses me in those dirty, dirty places. And with each kiss, he just says, "I love you. All that stuff is washed away. I just love you. I just love you." Jesus. This afternoon, I want to talk about the crucifixion. And I'll show those clips. And I'm just going to pray and invite Pastor Sam up. And we just love you, Lord. We don't even know how to do that. And I guess I'm speaking for myself. feel so clumsy in that, Lord God. But I know somewhere buried beneath all my foolishness and silly things that I do and folly, I just love you. And so far beyond that, Lord God, I just thank you that you love me. And I know that on one level or another, and I say this boldly, everyone who hears my voice would whisper that themselves. Lord, I don't get it. Can't try to figure it out. I'm always trying to figure it out with my head, and maybe that's my whole problem. But somewhere through it all, I know you love me. You love me. And so, Lord Jesus, that being the... Well, let me rephrase that. That being at the center of your person, hand in hand with your love of the Father, I ask you just to massage that truth into every heart that hears my voice. I ask you, Lord Jesus, by the power of your passion for everyone who hears my voice, that you would just reach past everything that would cloud that truth, everything that would try to separate him or her from the fullness of that truth. Just whisper the fullness of who you are. I love you. I accept you totally, just the way you are. I just love you. Jesus. 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 Everybody just be real still, and I'm going to slip away and let Pastor Sam take over and...